Okay, co-heirs with Christ is a heavy term, but it's true in every man and liar. We are destined to be the children of God, and that's why we must become obedient in this life. Nothing in Christianity is about going to heaven or going to hell. It is all about learning how to become the obedient children of Almighty God. You see, when you really understand the destiny of a human being, when you really understand the potential life that we have in us to be God beings, then it all becomes very clear. It's not about ultimate ends are in the kingdom of God, but ultimate ends are with us as children of God. The ultimate end of the kingdom of God will be taking the rest of the dead and turning them into children of God also. It has to do with every human being learning how to get rid of the rebellion against God the Father and learning how to be obedient children to His law. That's what it is for every person, because every person comes into that and they can be harvested now as children to God. The devil's defeated. It's not about people languishing in hell. It never has been. It's about raising up a giant, humongous family of multiple billions of people as the children of the living God. Let's go to Hebrews. This wasn't in my notes, but I want to show you this. Hebrews chapter 2. A very powerful verse. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. It is not to angels that He has subjected the world to come, about which we're speaking. The kingdom is not subjected to angels. The kingdom is made for the children of God. But there's a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you put everything under his feet." Wow. Though we've been made a little lower than the angels, we're going to be crowned with glory and honor and everything put under our feet. In putting everything under mankind, God left nothing that is not subject to Him. Yet at the present, we do not see everything subject to mankind, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God He might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are being made holy are of the same family. Amen. We're of the same family with Jesus Christ, who is of the same family with God the Father. We're being made the same family. God is a family, y'all. Praise Him. So Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. He says, "I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises." And again, He says, "I will put my trust in Him." And again, He says, "Here I am and the children God has given me." Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in our humanity so that through His death, He might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery to their fear of death. For surely it's not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, He had to be made like His brothers in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest to God, so He might make atonement for the sins of the people, because He Himself suffered when He was tempted. He is able to help those who were tempted. Come on, if y'all don't praise God, I'm going to think we're not Pentecostal in here. Look, God is making us a family, and He has chosen us of all the people of the earth to not only be the children of God, but to spread the knowledge that others can join in this glorious family, be glorified by Yeshua. And God is teaching all of us through our relations with each other. All of us. He becomes one with us in spirit so that He can know our heart and mind. And He can know there's no rebellion in our heart and mind, because, see, He's dwelling in us and He knows everything. He knows everything, and Kelly says, our secret heart, our secret mind. He's dwelling in our secret heart and secret mind. He knows everything in the depths of our being, and therefore He is always able to know when you come to that place where you are pure before Him. And that's why we go through trials, is to purify us. Gold that is made a dokimos, your faith that is made genuine, has to go into fire to burn off all the impurities. It's gold that's had all the impurities burned off. So your faith, your hope, your love, your trust, your purity in Him has to have all the impurities burned out of it so that He knows you are genuine all the way through and through. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Is this cool? I mean, this blew me away. When I got this revelation from God so many, many, many years ago, I was blown away. I mean, I walked around for months thinking, "Oh God, how on earth could you have messed up and picked me? How could the perfect God have made a mistake picking me? Because surely, surely, this is not what you want out of me." Verse 1. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. How great is the love He has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. That's why we have a hard time keeping people in the room, because they don't really know Him. And they come and they hear these great truths and it short circuits their brains and they can't really comprehend, but they didn't know Him. That knowing is intimate. They have not become intimate with Him. Therefore, they can't grab the truths of God. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and that what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Did you grasp that? We're the children of God, and when He shows up, we're going to see Him as He is, because we're going to be just like Him. Wow. Wow. This is in context. This is not an out-of-context, spurious verse that I'm building a doctrine of fiction of men. You know, the Trinity is a mystery. The Catholic Church will tell you they have no Bible to back that up. That's their own vain imagination. They tell you it's a mystery. But I'm giving you word in context. Everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as Christ is pure. So if you have this hope to be the child, a very child of God, to see Jesus as He is in the resurrection because you'll be just like Him, then you purify yourself just as He is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the Torah. In fact, sin is Torahlessness. So you purify yourself by the Torah because you have the hope of being resurrected to be like Yeshua Messiah. But you know that He appears that He might take away our sin, and in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Jesus keeps on sinning. If you're at cod with Him, you will stop. Does it mean that you will stop everything abruptly? No. But over the course of time, the Holy Spirit's going to be convicting you that what you're doing is wrong. And as you keep becoming one with Him in spirit, He's going to start saying, I don't like that. I don't want that. I want that gone. And after a while, you're going to be feeling the conviction. You're going to say, you know, I don't want it either. Because I don't want to break up my intimacy with Him in the Spirit. Come on, somebody. We don't want to lose that intimacy with Him in the Spirit. Therefore, at some point, we will change. Now look how powerful this is. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. That's become intimate with Him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous just as Christ is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. The devil built work in our life. The whole time we were over there playing on the devil's team, he was building his own work in our life. And the Lord has come so that as we worship Him in intimacy and purity and holiness and worship, He can start destroying the devil's work out of our life and building us up. How does He do that? No one who is born of God will continue to sin. We're supposed to be born of God, right? Born of water and of the Spirit, as Christ said. Born of God, because God's seed remains in Him. I told you, the Holy Spirit is God's seed in you. God's seed remains in you. The Holy Spirit in you, the seed of the Father, is going to begin to wear away the work of the devil and to break it down and to tear it up. And the more we become intimate, the more we are at cod with Him in holy union in the Spirit of God, the more we're not going to want the things that cause it to not be there. Right? This is how we know. I'm sorry. God, see, He cannot go on sinning because He has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God. What is right? The Torah. What is holy, just, and good? Your law. Nor is anyone who does not love his brother. The Holy Spirit is the very seed of God the Father. God Himself is recreating Himself through you. And it comes through this act of spiritual lovemaking in the worship. The devil can't stand that you were made in the image of God. The devil can't stand that you were made of mud and will inherit all things with Christ. The devil was made as the single greatest, most perfect creation God ever made. And because he rebelled against God and iniquity was found in him and he tried to throw God off the throne and take his place, he has been cast down to the earth. But he's looking at you and I, children made of mud, and he's furious. How can these mud figurines replace him, the greatest angel ever made? How can you give them all things when they're made of mud? But it's the seed of the Father in our jars of clay. We have this treasure in jars of clay. The seed of the Father. And just like a baby in the womb. You know, a baby in the womb goes through all the stages of the holy days all the way through the seventh month and the 21st day. Did you realize that? That it is conceived on the first day of the sacred month, and that at Passover things happen, at Pentecost things happen. On the Day of Trumpets the baby can hear. and breathe. Breath of life, seventh month. A baby in the womb goes through all the steps of the holy days, which would bring it out right about the time of Hanukkah. That's cool, isn't it? Isn't that cool? That's really cool. And so we go through all of this because it's the seed of the Father in us, making us as a new creation to be born of God. Come on, somebody. This is like profound in the extreme. Chapter 4, verse 13. We grind the devil's guts. We grind him that you, a human made of mud, is going to be resurrected in the likeness, the glory, and the power of Yeshua Messiah. He can't handle that, and he hates us for it. He hates us for it. We cannot understand the hatred the devil has for us. That's why he can be shown no mercy. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. It's not a third person living in you. He is living in you and you are living in him because of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. God is Spirit and it is Yeshua coming into us just like the man enters the woman. 1 Corinthians 15. You know, I mean, the very act of husband and wife should show us that what I'm saying is true, because the male member is not his best friend. Meaning that the very act of being one with my wife is not another man coming into her. It's me coming into her. It's a piece of me coming into her, not my best friend coming into her. The Holy Spirit coming into us is Jesus. The Holy Spirit. You know, I said one time that the Holy Spirit is what God the Father is made of, and I got rebuked by a friend of mine, well, God wasn't made. Well, you know what I meant. Yeah, but you can't say it that way. Okay, it's what they're composed of. It's their essence. It's their being. It's what they are is Spirit, and it's their Spirit that is them that's coming into us. It's not a third person. It's their very nature and essence coming into us directly from them, just the way the man comes into the woman to be one flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so as in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. First is Christ. There's an order to the resurrections. Everybody's not resurrected at one time like some people try to make it say. I didn't go back in this, but a lot of people claim there's no resurrection of the dead. We're all going to heaven. And he says if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been resurrected either. And we're dead in our sins. If there's no resurrection, there's no hope of life. But here he's saying there's an order to the resurrections. First is Christ, then the first fruits, which is you and I, then those he brings with him at his coming. And when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must rule until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. For, quote, he has put everything under his feet. That's a quote back to Hebrews where we just quoted that from Hebrews where he takes it from Psalm 8. He has put everything under his feet. It is clear that this does not include God himself who put everything under Christ. So as Christ is subject to the Father, so we have to be subject to Christ. Doesn't matter that we're the children of God. We have to come to a place where we do not consider equality with God something to be seized or grasped, but that we consider that as Christ is submitted to the Father, so we also will be submitted to Christ. You follow what I'm saying? When we come to that place, then God can change us. And we will be permanently locked into that glorious spirit body where we will not be able to go back on that. Hey, I kind of like that. I kind of like being locked into obedience where I can't go back on it. You know, we're in a body of flesh right now. We go back and forth, but you know, we're coming to a place where we're going to have a permanent body. This body of flesh can sin. That's why we have to repent. That's where the repentance process comes. When you have a repentant mind, spirit, and attitude, then you will always be subject and submissive to Christ, knowing that, hey, I know I have the tendency to go wrong, therefore I will submit to my Lord who does not have the tendency to go wrong. When we come to that place, God can lock us down permanently in that, so that we can never go back on him again. And then no matter what he tells us to do in the kingdom, it's, hey, great, I love it. And not, I don't want to do that. We'll talk about that another day. No, no. We'll be in that place where we'll love everything he tells us to do, no matter what it is. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all and in all. Echad, with us and everybody else. Now, if there's no resurrection, what will those do? No, I want to drop down. Let's drop down to verse 35. Some may ask, how are the dead raised, and with what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds, fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is of another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars differ from star in splendor. So it will be in the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. Because it is going to be like Jesus. It is sown in dishonor, in mud. That's why the devil hates us. It is going to be raised in glory like Jesus Christ. It is sown in weakness because we have flesh and it fails and we have infirmities and we go back on God and we break our covenants and we sin. But it is going to be sown and raised in power where we do not have the tendency to go back on God and where we will be strong to obey Him. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And if there's a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, and the second man from heaven. And as was the earthly man, so also those who are of the earth. We all carry around a body the same as was made by Adam. Adam carried a body made of mud, and every one of us has a body made of mud. So was Adam, so are we, and we. He died, we die. But look at this. And just as we have, I'm sorry, so also are those who are of, and I'm sorry, as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are from heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so we shall bear the likeness of the man from heaven. Jesus is the man from heaven who is glorified at the right hand of the Father. His eyes burn like fire. His face shines full like the sun. As we have borne the image of Adam, we're going to bear the image of Yeshua Messiah. That's what this word said. They're in context. I'm reading the whole passage. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. For what is perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. And when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the immortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin and the power of sin in the law, but thanks be to God, He has given us the victory in Jesus Christ our Lord. We must come to the knowledge of the truth because it's the truth that sets us free. Freedom does not come from anarchy, but rather freedom comes under the rule of law. We make ourselves subject to Christ in two ways. First is the obedience to His law so that we can walk and move and flow in His freedom. It's not bondage, it's freedom. The second way we become submissive and subject to Christ is through deep, intimate oneness with Him through the Holy Spirit. Turn back to 1 John chapter 5. And our marriages show us how to do all of this. 1 John chapter 5, or they should. Verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe. That's Yeshua Messiah, keeps us safe. And the evil one cannot harm us. We know that we are children of God. We know that we are children of God. And the devil doesn't want you to know that. And he's obscured this for centuries. And he has kept all the church brethren thinking that they're just going to go to heaven and be like an angel and strum a harp, when the word of God from stem to stern is that we're going to be made His own children. Did He not tell Abraham, you will have children as numerous as the sands on the seashore, but you will also have children as numerous as the stars in the sky? We are the ones with the Holy Spirit that are the children and numerous as the stars in the sky. He's got one seat of the earth. He's got one seat of heaven. We receive the power of the Holy Ghost living in us, which is the seed of the Father, which makes us the seed and the children of heaven. Come on, somebody. We know that the whole world is under the control of the evil one, and we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. We are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. That's the reason we're made male and female, so that in coming together as husband and wife under covenant, we could comprehend who we are. Great Heavenly Father, we thank You, we praise You, we glorify You. I just do now ask that You would impart this word into the heart, soul, spirit, and mind of every person that hears these words. They would understand their true destiny in Yeshua, Messiah. They would understand the true reason why they were given and to be made as male and female and given to one another as husband and wife, joined in holy matrimony, under covenant, learning how to make true spiritual love so that we can worship Jesus Christ, our Messiah and King, that we can be the true children of the only Father, the only Creator of all that exists. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.